Would you please pray with me? Oh God, we thank you today for your many advents, the many ways you have come to us, and pray that you would come to us again this morning in the Word and in the activity of your Spirit. Turn our hearts to faith. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. A couple weeks ago, one of your pastors complained about the immense difficulty of submitting sermon titles a few weeks in advance and how who knows what the sermon's going to be by the time he gets there and they might not have anything to do with it. I don't want to throw anyone under the bus. And I'm the last person who would boast or brag. Thank you. But I just thought it would you might like to notice how well this sermon hangs together on the title, which I submitted weeks in advance. It was easy. They just come to me. I don't know how. If you don't get that joke, it's a running joke. You got to come here every Sunday. A young girl, maybe 10 or 12 years old, is engaged to be married. While there are real problems with this that transcend any context, this was, in fact, good news for her in first century Palestine. It meant a certain degree of social and financial security. It was like getting a job and a house all at once and in the only way that was possible for her. But suddenly, an angel appears to her and throws this stable situation into jeopardy with a declaration. You will conceive and bear a son. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and his kingdom will have no end. Whoa. Pump the brakes, she might have thought. An unexpectedly pregnant virgin could quickly find herself unengaged, impoverished, and homeless. This was not obviously good news, not for Mary at least. In this way, Mary's story stands in contrast with others we've heard recently, Sarah's from Genesis and Elizabeth's from just last week, just a few verses earlier in the Gospel of Luke. For Sarah and Elizabeth, angelic visitors foretelling pregnancy brought not only good news, but news too good to be true. Their situations were so different. Both those women were married, not engaged, to well-positioned men. Both women had been desperate to conceive for years and had offered countless prayers to God, and most importantly, both assumed they had, due to their advanced age, missed their window. So when messengers from the Lord brought glad tidings to Sarah, for example, all she could do was laugh incredulously. Likewise, Elizabeth's husband Zechariah couldn't believe what he was hearing and demanded proof from the angel, who, in response, promptly struck him mute until the promised baby was born. For Sarah and Elizabeth, then, a blessing long hoped for. For Mary, a curse. And yet the angel Gabriel says to her, "Do not be afraid." He assures her, "The Lord is with you," and he calls her favored one. What did Mary make of all that? Well, like we heard, she was perplexed. And not only because a surprise baby before marriage for someone in her situation sure didn't feel like divine favor, she was also confused by the sheer mechanics. She's a smart young girl. How was this supposed to work? How was she going to give birth to any son, let alone this son, when she had never lain with her husband-to-be Joseph, or anyone else for that matter? In response to these types of questions, Gabriel, the angel, doesn't rebuke or punish her, as previous divine messengers had done with Sarah and Zechariah. Instead, the angel simply tells Mary that the Holy Spirit will bring this miracle to pass and that nothing will be impossible for God. Mary responds humbly, obediently, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be according to your word." And at this, Gabriel departs. Do not be afraid, If only it were that simple, right? But Mary is facing real risks here, real fears. In some ways, though, it seems like it was that simple. Mary's reaction, finally, is much more faithful than it is fearful. But still, the basic arithmetic of this situation remains, and it doesn't add up. Gabriel's news is not, in any obvious sense, good news for Mary, as it had been for women like Sarah and Elizabeth. So for whom is it good news? That's a softball question. That's one we should all be able to answer. It's good news for us, right? It's good news for everyone else. It's good news for you and me and all the other descendants of Sarah and Abraham, the nation more numerous than the stars in the heavens, the kingdom, as we hear this morning, without end. But are we sure? Are you sure about that? Are you sure it's good news to have God living among us? I guess it depends on what sort of God we think we've got coming to us and why. That's the purpose of Advent, by the way, to meditate upon and give thanks for God's many advents, God's many arrivals, many appearances among us, the ways God has and continues to come to us. So if you think God came to us to see us clearly and judge us fairly, Christmas is a terrifying prospect. The birth into the world of a power come to devour us. And I don't think the Boy Scouts are going to sell many wreaths for that holiday. But that is not our holiday. This is the most joyful time of the year for Christians because we believe that God, in Christ Jesus, came to be with us, to be one of us, to see us clearly and know us clearly, yes, but to, miracle of miracles, love us all the more for that. That Jesus was born into this world not only to live among us, but to die among us, to die for us. And why is that a joyful thing, that he should die? Why does Gabriel greet Mary as a favored one and tell her not to be afraid? What could be more terrifying to a mother? What could make her feel further from God's favor than the prospect of her child dying? How is that good news? It is good news because of what we confess together every week, except conveniently this week in the Apostles' Creed. You may have noticed we did the Nicene this week. In the Apostles' Creed, we confess, he was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven. Do you hear why we celebrate? Are there holes in this life? Indeed, there are. And we will fall into them. But none, we confess, are too deep for Christ who comes to us, for Christ who descended into hell itself. And there is darkness, and we may feel it spread across our lives from time to time, but we confess, there is no shadow so thick it can't be driven out by Christ, the light who shines in the darkness, the light no darkness can overcome. In short, there is nowhere we can go that Christ can't follow. No pit of despair we could fall into that Christ can't drag us out of and into paradise with him. So be not afraid. Mary, God's favored one, is with child. Christmas is soon to be here, and Christ with it. And that is very good news. Amen.